Open your Bible to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Charlie, that was a great combination of songs, so feel free to put those together anytime you feel led. We'll patiently wait for you to tune your guitar. Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking this morning at just verse 2. I want to read verses 1 and 2. To kind of give us the context. Paul writes here, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service," or which is your spiritual worship. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at chapter 12, verse 1, and we looked at how Paul was addressing the importance of presenting our bodies as a sacrifice, as living sacrifices to the Lord. And now in verse 2 of chapter 12, Paul is transitioning to talking about our mind and the importance of our minds being made new. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." So as we did with verse 1, we're going to kind of take this verse apart here a little bit so that we can understand exactly what it is that Paul is saying. And first thing we need to understand is, what does the idea of conformed mean? When Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world," what does that mean? Well, the dictionary definition of conform is to be or become similar in form, nature, or character. And it's the idea of being shaped by external forces into a shape desired by that force. Okay? So a couple other renderings maybe help you understand that. The American Standard Version says, "And be not fashioned according to this world." Or J.B. Phillips put it like this. He said, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." When I think of this verse, and when I think about Romans 12, 2, I've always kind of, in my mind, thought about clay or Plato. And when I think about what it means to be conformed, I think about taking a lump of clay or a lump of Plato and how you can shape it, and you can conform it, and you can make it into anything you want it to be. And that's really the idea here that Paul is talking about. You can take that shapeless lump, and with the proper application of pressure and with some creativity and at least a little skill, you can make it into something quite beautiful or something quite horrific, depending on how you shape it. And when the clay or the Play-Doh is shaped, and how it is shaped, is dependent entirely on the force or forces that are shaping it. The clay or the Play-Doh has no say at all. It doesn't get to say, "Well, here's what I want to be," or "Try pulling me this way." No, it doesn't. It has no say. It's dependent entirely on the forces used to shape it. So what are some of the things, what are some of the forces, what are some of the ways that our minds are shaped? Well, I think obviously there are some that probably come immediately to mind. Our families shape our minds. Our friends shape our minds. Our teachers shape our minds. But the things that we read, the things that we watch, things that we listen to, all of those things shape our mind, conform our mind, apply pressure, so to speak, to the Play-Doh of our mind, if you want to put it that way. Here's a very direct question that probably most of us would rather not answer out loud, but I think it's an important question for us to consider nevertheless, and to be at least honest with ourselves about. If it were possible to go back from this time a week ago to now and look at all the thoughts that you had had, all the thoughts that I had had, and to somehow categorize or classify those thoughts. Would we find a preponderance of thoughts that were conformed to this world, or that had been transformed and made new? Probably a sobering thing to contemplate. Our minds are not naturally in line with God and His ways because we are corrupted by sin. Back in chapter 7 of Romans, you may remember Paul, when he was talking in that chapter about the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do, and the struggle that that was even for Paul. And he says in that chapter, he says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. And that is exactly why he's saying here that we must have our minds transformed and made new. In Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to look at an Old Testament passage. This is a familiar passage. I'm sure that some of you will recognize it, even if maybe you don't recognize the reference. You'll recognize the verse. But in Isaiah chapter 55, looking at verses, starting in verse 3, we see that God says there in that verse, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. And that is not the passage I wanted. That's not what it says, but that is not the verse that I wanted. But it does say in there, and obviously, it's down a little bit further. There we go. I got in the wrong spot. Go to verse 8. There's what we're looking for. It says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's verses 8 and 9. No, not starting in verse 3. There's nothing wrong with verses 3 and following, but 8 and 9 is what I was looking for. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher than yours." Right? And so the idea that, how does that relate to what Paul is here saying in Romans chapter 12, right, is that God is on a different level than we are. Right? The mindset of God, the thought process of God, the way of thinking that God has is quite different than ours. And God wants our minds to become more like His. And that's this idea of transformation that Paul is here talking about. And there's a couple things that we need to take as we consider that passage there in Isaiah. One is to be aware that God's ways are different than ours. They're very different than ours. And in the natural, our minds don't have even the slightest similarity to God's mind. But the second thing that we need to understand as we think about that is that the transformation of our minds from the natural state to a new mind that is like Christ and becoming more like Christ does not happen instantly. It doesn't even happen quickly. It takes time. It's something that will occur over the entire course of our lives. It doesn't matter how long you may live, how old you may be, or how long you were a Christian, you will never reach a point where you could say, my mind is now fully like Christ. It won't happen, right? But that process of sanctification, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we die to self, as we yield to the Holy Spirit's working in our lives, as we expose ourselves to the truth of God's word, we will become more like Christ. Our minds will become more pleasing to God, right? Think about that idea of Play-Doh again, or clay. If you were to take out a container, not really a jar, but take out that container of Play-Doh, right, and you pull out the Play-Doh and you get this lump, and then you don't just instantly have this thing that you want, right? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes persistence. Sometimes it takes starting over, right? I messed that up, got to ball it all up again and start over again. And it's the same thing with our minds becoming transformed, right? It takes time, it takes effort, it takes discipline, it takes sometimes recognizing, boy, I messed that up. I need to go back and redo that part again. And truth be told, it really takes time for our minds to grow in either direction. But our minds becoming more and more worldly happens a lot easier. It takes very little effort on our part for that to happen. Because of the world that we live in and the influences that are around us, we don't really have to do anything for our minds to become increasingly worldly. All we have to do is just not put our guard up, not use a filter, not exercise discernment. Just sit back, take it easy, be lazy, and I promise you, your mind will become more and more like the world. And if you don't believe me, just think about this. This is a question that maybe won't resonate as much with the streaming generation, but some of us in here will at least be able to relate to this. How many of you have ever seen a rerun of a television show? Quite a few, right? How do you know it was a rerun? You remembered you'd seen it before, right? I'm guessing that when you watched that television show the first time, you didn't make a conscious effort to memorize it or to remember everything that had occurred. But simply by watching it and by being exposed to it, there were things that were implanted in your mind. And then when you saw it again, you're like, oh, I've seen this before. How many of you have ever found yourself humming or singing along with a song that you had no idea you had actually even listened to previously? Maybe even a song that had you stopped to think about it, you would not have been humming or singing. My wife is not here today, so I'll pick on her a little bit. When she was 3, she was singing along with the beer commercial on television. There was no more TV in her house after that. When she went off to college, her parents decided it was safe to get a TV again. I'm not making that up, actually. You can ask her when she's back. You can ask her. How many of you ever said something in the heat of the moment or maybe in quick reaction without stopping to think first, and then as soon as it came out, you're like, where did that come from? Well, where did it come from? It was inside of you. How did it get inside of you? Through the influences that you'd been exposed to, through the things you had listened to, the things you had watched, the things that you had thought about. If it had not been inside of you, it could not have come out of you. Right? Nothing can come out of me that's not already in me. So when something comes out of me in the heat of the moment, I'm like, man, where did that come from? The reality is it came from inside of me. And that's what Paul is here talking about. That's why it's so important that he says that we're not to be conformed to this world, right? And every time that the world asserts ideas, a worldview, a mindset, an attitude, a philosophy, every time the world brings those things, they're attempting to conform our mind. And there's all kinds of messages that we're exposed to on a regular basis because of the reality of the world that we live in, right? Every time that someone says, well, homosexuality is just a lifestyle, or abortion is health care, or gender is a choice, or, you know, fill in the blank with all of the things that the world may try to tell us, that, and then it kind of all gets wrapped up or encapsulated in the idea that, well, what's true for you may be not true for me. There's no absolute truth, except that one. There's absolutely no absolute truth. You can ponder that later, okay? That'll take you a little while to think about. There's so many things that the world is teaching us, that the world is instilling in us, that the world is throwing at us, and it happens without our consciously thinking about it, usually. Which is why it's so important that we are on guard. Of this verse here, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Matthew Poole wrote, "Do not fashion or accommodate yourselves to the corrupt principles, customs, or courses of worldly and wicked men." As I think about that statement, I think perhaps the key word in there, or the key words, is accommodate yourselves. Right? If we think about what that means, right, I think that there's very few people, if any, who would claim to be in Christ and would also say, well, yes, it's my goal to accommodate my mind to a worldly perspective, Right? None of us would knowingly say that. And yet we don't necessarily take the time or the effort to prevent it. And what does accommodate mean? Well, it basically just means to make room for, right? To provide space for. Right? When my entire extended family used to go to the beach together for a week, we'd usually rent a big house. And when we'd look online to see all the listings of houses, we would try to find one that would accommodate us all, was large enough for all of us to fit in. So when Matthew Poole says here, do not accommodate yourselves to corrupt principles, what he's really saying is, do not make room in your minds for things that are contrary to God. Evict them if they're in there, and if possible, don't let them in the first place. It's the point that he is getting at. Eugene Peterson puts the beginning of Romans 12:2 like this. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. When's the last time you felt uncomfortable by something in our culture? If you don't know, if you can't remember, then I would suggest that there's three possibilities. One is you don't get out much, which may not necessarily be a bad thing, but that's one possibility. Two is you're not paying attention. Or thirdly, you've become too adjusted to our culture. Because if you're out there and awake and paying attention, I doubt a day will go by that you will not be exposed to something that should make you uncomfortable, that should, in your mind, register as, that's not consistent with God's word. That's not how God would have me to live. That's not what God said. We have to recognize that there is a connection between what it says in this book and how we live out there in the world. There's a connection between what we do in here, this room on Sunday morning, and how we live out there in the world. If we think that we can just pick this up whenever we think about it or have time and read it and then close it and leave it on the nightstand or the end table or the shelf or the trunk or wherever it is that we happen to leave our Bible, and then go about the rest of our activities and then do that, and that's fine, that's all well and good, and then we come back and do this. We cannot separate them. And we're deluding ourselves if we think that we can. Right? If we don't understand that what it says in this book is relevant to how we live our lives every day, then we are not grasping the reality of God's word and the relevance of God's word. And in his book, Worldview as Worship, Eddie Carl Bauman wrote this. He said, if young people, and I would suggest all people, but he's writing about young people, see no connection between the fundamental issues of their lives and the practice of biblical worldview, they will default to the motives and practices of culture, relegating the biblical worldview to a philosophical or academic position with little practical value. That's the danger, right? We must grasp this vital truth of what he's here getting at, is that what we read in our Bible, what we hear at church on Sunday morning and the songs and the message and the Sunday school time and what we study in Bible studies and what we listen to in the music that is God-honoring, like the songs that we sing this morning, all of that should influence how we live our lives. All of that should shape our mind. It is molding that lump of clay or Play-Doh to become more like Christ. And if you permit me just a bit of wordplay, right? If we allow what we read in our Bibles and what we do at church to make a difference in how we think, then we will think differently. Did you catch that, right? If what we read in our Bibles and what we do when we're together at church, if we allow that to make a difference in how we think, then we will think differently. Our minds will be transformed. It will be different than the world. It will be different than it used to be. My mind today better be different than it was a year ago, and 2 years ago, and 5 years ago. In fact, let me reword that. My mind today is different. The question is it different in that it's more like Christ, or is it different in that it's less like Christ? Because no one's mind is staying exactly the same. It is changing. The question is just, in which direction is it changing? Scott Hubbard actually wrote this. He says, if we are in Christ, God is remaking our minds. Notice that he doesn't say God should be remaking our minds. He doesn't say God wants to be remaking our minds. He says God is remaking our minds. In the same way, if you look here at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul does not say, I would not recommend being conformed to this world. Paul does not say being conformed to this world is really not a good idea. No, what he says is, do not be conformed to this world. He's making it as clear as he can. He says, don't do it. Do not be conformed to the world. So what are we supposed to do instead? Well, he says right after that, he says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We are to be changed. Our minds are to be changed. How? By being made new. The Good News Translation says, let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. The Amplified Bible says, be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. The word here in Romans 12, 2, where it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that Greek word that's there translated as transformed is the word from which we get the word metamorphosis. It's to change from one thing into another. And while metamorphosis doesn't exclusively apply to a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, that's what I tend to think of when I think of that term, right? And probably we all learned about that in elementary science at some point, right? In that process of how that change takes place. And as I was preparing, I Googled the word metamorphosis, specifically butterfly metamorphosis. And here's what I found, a short little description. It says, the metamorphosis from a caterpillar into a butterfly occurs during the pupa stage. During this stage, the caterpillar's old body dies and a new body forms inside a protective shell known as a chrysalis. That's exactly what's supposed to happen to our mind. Our old mind is supposed to die, and a new mind is supposed to be born. Right? Remember that Paul writes elsewhere, the old is passed away, all things have become new. Right? And that's the idea here, that our mind is supposed to become new. It's supposed to metamorphosize into a new mind, into a new godlike mind. But again, remember, this doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't even happen quickly. It takes time. It's part of the process of sanctification, of growing in our relationship with the Lord and becoming more Christ-like and yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But this does not mean that we have no role to play, right? You and I have to be actively involved in this process. It's not that we have no responsibility here, right? Because if you look here, Paul does not say to us, let yourself be transformed, right? He says, be transformed. It's an active verb, and we have an active role to play in it. We have to be involved in that transformation that occurs. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. We have to be careful about the influences that we allow into our minds. We have to die to self on a regular basis. And Philippians 3, if you turn over a few pages to Philippians chapter 3, this is a fairly familiar passage as well, but Paul writes Here he says, starting verse 19, he says, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, verse 20 says, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Right, Paul is talking here in the first part there in verse 19. He says, with their minds set on earthly things. This is a characteristic of those who are, if you look at the end of verse 18, enemies of the cross of Christ. Possibly on the next page, or maybe need to turn over a page, but the verses that we read for the call to worship this morning, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, which is another way of saying, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you are in Christ, seek the things that are above. Now, notice the contrast between that and what we just read in Philippians chapter 3. He says that their minds are set on earthly things. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's that contrast, right? And really, you could read all of Colossians chapter 3 and see that the description that is included there about the change that is to take place. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, or we were looking at chapter 3, but if you look down into chapter 4, starting in verse 8, talking about that we have a responsibility to guard our minds, to guard our hearts, to exercise discernment in what we allow in. Actually, let's start in verse 7. He says that God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But then he says, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. And if we want to get real honest with ourselves for just a minute, if we were to look at the stuff that's on our televisions and coming through our radios and on our internet screens, most of it isn't going to fall into these categories. We're going to find an awful lot of stuff that's not true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, or worthy of praise. Now, is there some? Yeah, there is some. But I think that it's vastly outnumbered, which is why it's so important that we exercise discernment. Don't think for a moment that you can go through life the way you have always gone through life, doing whatever, thinking whatever, watching whatever, listening to whatever, and think that your mind will be transformed, right? If what Paul is here saying that we are to do in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when he's describing what's to happen to our minds, this renewal that's to take place, a transformed mind, you must understand, a transformed mind is not something that will happen to you. It's not something that will happen to you. It's something that we are called to pursue, that we have to be actively involved in. None of us will ever wake up one day and just be like, oh, I got my new mind last night. No. Some of us might wake up and think I'm out of my mind, right? But we'll never wake up and just realize I got my new mind, right? It doesn't happen that way. And so we are to pursue it. Why are we to pursue it? Well, what does Paul then say after he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you look back again at Philippians for just a minute, in Philippians chapter 1 this time, there's a lot of crossover between Philippians and this part of Romans, but in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Okay, that word that you see there in Philippians 1, verse 10, where it says you may approve what is excellent, and then back in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says that by testing you may discern, those are the same Greek word, that discerning and proving or approving. It's the same Greek word. In fact, in the King James Version, It reads that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God in Romans 12:2. In the Greek language, that word that's translated approve referred to testing metals. To getting metals and testing it to see if it's pure. To see how much dross, how much impurity was in part of that metal. And being able to determine then what's the quality of this metal. Because as you probably know, right, you don't just go dig in the ground and pull up 100% pure anything, right? It's always got some other stuff that's part of it. And so it's this idea here of testing it in order to know what's good, what's valuable, and what's useless. What needs to be removed? What needs to be burned away? What needs to be scraped off? And that's kind of the idea here that Paul is getting at. That we need to be able to identify what's good and acceptable and perfect, what's in line with God's thinking, God's mindset, God's desire for our lives, and what's not. What do we need to get rid of? When we consider Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 together, hopefully you understand and recognize that there is a connection between them. What we've seen in chapter 12, verse 1 over the last couple of weeks about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, please understand that we can never present our bodies as a living sacrifice if we do not have a transformed mind. There is a connection between the two. We are deluding ourselves if we think that it's possible to think wrongly and act rightly. You can't do it. You can't have a depraved mind and righteous actions. Excuse me. There's a connection between the two. That's why Paul is here saying, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't be conformed to this world. If you are, then what we see at the end of verse 1 cannot happen. You cannot be conformed to this world and present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And after all, as Paul says at the end of verse 1, it is our reasonable or our logical service to do that. It's what we have been called to do. It was Billy Graham who said, "Most of all, let the Word of God fill you and renew your mind every day. When our minds are on Christ, Satan has little room to maneuver." When our minds are on Christ, Satan has little room to maneuver. So, if you look at Romans 12, verse 1, and you struggle with that, you think there's this exhortation that I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice, and you think about everything that includes that we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, and you think, I'm struggling with doing that. I'm not able to do it. I want to do it, as Paul says in chapter 7, and it's just not working. Here's a significant part of why that may be. Verse 2. Where's your mind? Are you being conformed to this world? Only a mind that has been transformed can produce a body that will be surrendered as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its relevance in our lives. We thank you for this exhortation that is included here in this verse, that we are called to be made new, to have a mind that's been transformed. And may we be careful as we go about our lives, as we go about our day-to-day activities, as we interact with others, as we pursue entertainment or news or whatever it is that we're doing, and as we allow influences into our minds, through our eyes, through our ears, through the people that we interact with, through the things that we spend time on. May we be careful. May we exercise discernment. May we seek to honor you in the way that we exercise our thoughts and the influences that we spend time with. Thank you that you have not simply told us to be transformed and then left us to figure out how to do it on our own. You've given us your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us fellow believers to encourage us, to come alongside us, to even sometimes correct us. May we be intentional as we consider what we are thinking about in the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn to hymn 390 for our closing hymn. Please stand as we sing together. 390.
Ephesians 4:21 to 24 from the New Living Translation. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Amen.